up, everybody? You're now tuned into the true definition of a sports fanatic. I'm your host, Brandon Lampley. It's been a long layoff, people. I've been working. That's the best way I can put it. And I took a break. Took a long break, especially over Christmas. Had about almost 2 weeks off, and I just took a break from it all. But I did miss doing this. Kind of, you know, a little reset, a little refresh. And getting ready and coming up on the anniversary of my first episode ever, which was last year's Super Bowl between the Rams and the Patriots. And if you haven't listened to that, go listen to that. That was my very first episode. You can just compare and contrast, you know, now versus then. And I've grown so much. But today we're going to touch on a few topics and get out of here. Not trying to be in here an hour, you know, talking your head off. But so much has happened in the sports world over the last month. So much. But most recently, of course, was I had LSU beating Clemson. Now, I didn't think they were going to undress them like that. But I had LSU beating Clemson because I thought Joe Burrow and those weapons on that offensive side of the ball for LSU would be too much for Clemson. And I thought Clemson would be able to score, but not score enough to beat LSU, and I was right. Now, Trevor Lawrence has been billed as maybe the greatest quarterback prospect ever. And that's how he looked in high school coming out. And he looked the part his freshman year and looked the part some, you know, to what I'd say their last couple of games this year. But once this playoff started, I don't think he played a particularly great game against Ohio State. But, you know, it was good. It wasn't great. But definitely against LSU. Once LSU started to get pressure on him, everything was high. Everything was high. He was overthrow after overthrow after overthrow. And so once he couldn't stare down the barrel and deliver a pass, it was a wrap for him. They couldn't move the football. LSU, you have to give credit to them and the game plan they had, because I don't remember seeing much from Ross. Higgins had a touchdown. He gave the safety, I think it was Delpit. It might have been Delpit, might have been the other safety. He gave him that shoulder on his way to a touchdown. It's a thing of beauty. Travis Etienne played very well. But other than that, man, Clemson's offense was mediocre at best. Brent Venables is a great coach, don't get me wrong, but on some of those, especially number 8 for Clemson, Terrell, he had perfect coverage on some of those throws, man, and just he was in good position. It's just there's nothing you can do when there's a perfect pass. That's the old saying, there's no defense for the perfect pass. When the quarterback puts it exactly where it needs to be, there's nothing the defender can do. And Joe Burrow had a couple of dimes in that game. And it was also really cool to see Thaddeus Moss, Randy Moss's son, score 2 touchdowns and get a national title with his dad in the stands. It's a pretty sweet moment. You know, game was great. I know it was on forever, though. Came on at like 8:30, and I don't think it went off until 12:30. I had dozed off towards the end after LSU scored that kick the field goal. I woke up, the confetti was falling, and it was like 12:30, 12:45. The game took forever. And what's funny about this is, as great as the national championship game was, that wasn't the most interesting thing that happened that night, apparently. So after the game, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., who is an alumni of LSU, was handing out wads of cash on the field. So he pull out a knot, take a couple bills off the top, and was giving out, looked like $500 handshake, $1,000 handshakes. And he said he was only giving it to seniors, guys who weren't going back to school, in which I see no issue with that at all. So what? It's Odell's money. He can do whatever he want to do with it. The hypocrisy that those guys can't take that money from Odell Beckham, knowing they're seniors and they're getting ready to graduate and leave college. So what? I don't care about your rules and regulations, NCAA, because your two head coaches that were in that game, if I'm not mistaken, just making it to that game and winning the game, which Ed Orgeron, LSU head coach, won the game, their bonuses totaled over $1 million for just making it and winning the game. So I don't want to hear about a senior getting a $1,000 handshake from Odell Beckham Jr. And this is where the NCAA is going to continue to lose people. It's going to continue to lose star athletes, especially in basketball, because those guys have other options. They don't have to go to the NCAA in order to show that, you know, basically to display their talents so they can go high in the draft. They don't have to. James Wiseman, the center/forward from Memphis, who was suspended for about 11 games, he finally said, you know what, forget it. I'm done. I'm going to focus and prepare for the NBA draft because I'm probably going to be a top three pick. It is what it is. Or Darius Bazley, who Rich Paul got him a $1 million deal with New Balance. It was an internship where he basically trained and focused and prepared for the draft. And so the only reason NCAA can still do this with football players is because they really don't have another alternative. There's not another sports league that they can go to at 18 and play in to show the NFL, you know, to display their talents and show that they should be taken high in the NFL draft or be able to catch on with the NFL team, period. Yeah, the NCAA has had a monopoly on amateur athletics for a long time. But slowly and surely, that is going to come to an end. And I think that's where probably the XFL comes in. Because if I'm the XFL, the age for my players to be able to join, I would put it at 18. I would. Hey, you leave high school and you want to play professionally, you want to come to the XFL, I would let them come. Now, of course, every 18-year-old out there is not going to be able to go play with grown men, of course. There's only going to be a select few that will be able to do that. One of my favorite athletes of all time, I'm sure at 18, he could have played NFL football, and that was Adrian Peterson. Dude is a freak of nature. But even with you allowing 18-year-olds to come play football in the league in the XFL, hey, give them red shirts, basically. Hey, give them their bodies time to mature, and they'll be, number one, they'll be making money. They'll be in a professional weight room, on a professional diet, taking care of their bodies, working on their craft. They can still go to school. You can still get your education, but you'll be paid to play football. You won't be playing for universities for free. And then, hey, once you hit your 20s or at whatever age, once you're 3 years removed from high school, which is the NFL's rule, so you say you're 18 years old, as soon as you hit 21, and you decide you want to enter the NFL draft, you can do that. You got 3 years experience in the XFL. But, hey, that's just my opinion. Vince McMahon, I came up with this idea, so holla at your boy. Put me on the board or something, you know, because I think this is a good idea. But back to Odell Beckham Jr., because that wasn't all. It wasn't just about the $1,000 handshakes. So in the locker room, which they had video of him handing out the money. Oh, and I almost forgot. I like Joe Burrow, but shame on him. LSU reported that the money he was giving out was fake. And people were believing it. Then Joe Burrow goes on a podcast or something he was on and said that, no, the money was real. He didn't have to say that. But, hey, because it shouldn't matter anyway. But stop snitching. But even more on OBJ. So he's in the locker room, LSU locker room, and supposedly they had their cigars, their victory cigars in the locker room. Afterwards, I know Alabama does it after they win. They'll have their victory cigars and, you know, a nice cigar every now and then with a cup of your favorite adult beverage. You know, it's a good thing. I think it was New Orleans PD or the security that was there basically told them they couldn't smoke in there or they were going to be in trouble and this and that and the third. So you got looks like, I don't think that was New Orleans PD. He looks like he was stadium security, maybe, or maybe armed security, because it didn't look like New Orleans PD. But he's talking to a player, and Odell Beckham comes and interrupts him talking to him, and then he smacks him on the butt. And, you know, he's just joking around, laughing, having a good time. And now a warrant was issued for his arrest, like, a day later. I mean, hit my phone, came to me like that. And I was like, oh, man, for what? I watched the video, and I said, oh, well, you can't do that, and it is assault. But come on, man. Seriously. And then you got these ESPN reporters and reporters of who have much bigger platforms than I, and they're just bashing him, talking all about him. But it's amazing to me that they're bashing Odell, but I heard not much at all, minimal things, only the bare bones of what was going on with Julian Edelman. And we're talking about somebody who was arrested for vandalism. We're talking about somebody who was suspended 4 games for PEDs, who's billed as a great teammate and a great leader and all that bull crap. But I didn't hear anything about Julian Edelman. But we know why that is. I've spoke about it before. I don't think we need to rehash it. But it's hypocrisy, man. Really, all that matters is how LSU's football team feel about Odell and him being there and the fun they had with him. Because every player, they said, he didn't make it about him. He was having a good time, and they loved it. And LSU shouldn't care about it either, because all this does, yes, you won a national title, but you know what those kids see? Those potential prospects, those 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, 1-star kids, or the no-star kids that might want to come to LSU to help you win your next title, they saw, yeah, you had Joe Burrow, and it was all flash, and you put up 45 on Clemson. But one thing I know caught their eye was Odell Beckham on the sidelines. Odell Beckham chilling with the team. Odell Beckham handing out, you know, money. That mattered. And it matters way more than you think it matters. Because, yeah, I can go anywhere. Dude can go to Alabama. I can go to Clemson, go to Ohio State, go wherever, and go win me a national title. You stay within those top schools, you probably get your national title in 4 years. Especially go to Bama. Roll Tide. But who else got Odell Beckham Jr. on their sideline? Repping the LSU Tiger. Nobody else has that. No one. As great as Alabama is, there's no former Alabama players like an Odell Beckham Jr. who comes back and I see on the sideline. No, there's not. So for LSU, this is a good thing. Like they say, all press is good press. Good or bad, doesn't matter. Because it brings eyes to the product. It brings eyes to what you're selling. It brings eyes to whatever you are doing. So LSU should have no issue with this. You talk to LSU, oh yeah, we're looking into it, doing our investigation, blah, blah, blah. But really, it's a non-issue. Now let's switch gears a little bit, because I got to talk about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is melting down. He's having a meltdown before our very eyes. It's crazy. I know Warren Sapp always joked when he did bad stuff or said something he shouldn't have said or whatever. He was like, his CTE is acting up, which is hilarious. It's pretty funny. But, man, Antonio Brown, man, dude, this pattern of behavior is very alarming. And now you have those who are closest to him, now they're bailing out. And it's funny because now we know what Pittsburgh was putting up with for all these years. Man, I seen somebody say Mike Tomlin deserves a Coach of the Decade award for putting up with Antonio Brown for as long as he did. And I agree, give him the Coach of the Decade, because that is amazing. And then you had guys like Terry Bradshaw, who was doubting Coach Tomlin, calling him a cheerleader, saying he wasn't really a coach, which was so disrespectful. But, hey, that's Terry Bradshaw. That's, you know, those people of that hue, and that's what they do. But for him to have to deal with that and still coach a football team, because you have those who say they feel like he enabled him, but really, you got a guy who really you had to handle with kid gloves, man. He did. You really told Mike Tomlin because you enabled Antonio Brown because you paid him. That's the organization. They paid him. They signed the checks. They enabled him. So they tied one arm behind Mike Tomlin's back and told him to go out there and deal with this Antonio Brown fiasco. And he held it together for a long time. And I have to commend him. Now, one thing I will have to say is that just because Antonio Brown is acting a fool and being incredibly stupid and looks like he needs psychiatric help, it does not change what he said about Ben Roethlisberger. Two things can be true. Antonio Brown melting down, needing help, and was just a terrible individual, seems like. And Antonio Brown confirming what I already knew was that Ben Roethlisberger is a terrible individual. But man, it just seemed like one instance after another, Antonio Brown is doing something stupid. I had a coworker talk to me, in fact, this morning, and she said, "Brandon, why you tell me Antonio Brown acting crazy?" And she follows football, but she's not really that into it. But she said her daughter showed her a video of him. Well, when he was cursing out the police and he had a bag of like gummy bears or gummy worms in the shape of male member. And dudes, just, I think he threw some at the police. And he cursing them out and acting a fool. And now his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has conditionally terminated their relationship and has advised Antonio to seek help. Dude, just... Man, I really hope that he gets the help that he needs, because, and that's one of the problems when you've reached that status, you've reached a certain mountaintop and plateau, is that you go from having those around you who are critical, who give it to you straight like it is, tell you when you're wrong. The higher you go, people turn into yes men, especially if they're benefiting from your success. If you bankrolling their lifestyle, no idea is a bad idea. That's like Rick Ross. Rick Ross was in the studio. He was recording a song. We're recording a verse for a song called "You Ain't Even Know It." It's a good song, by the way. You should check it out. But it's him, Future, and Rocco the Don. And Rick Ross has a line in the song where he refers to date rape. He says, "I put Molly all in her champagne. She ain't even know it. I took her home and I enjoyed that. She ain't even know it." And it's, she didn't even know it, but, you know, sounds cooler when you say she ain't even know it. But he said the line nonetheless. And so I know his posse was in the studio with him. They'd heard him say that line. And that's where you got to have people in your circle that say, "Hey, that's not cool, man. You shouldn't do that." I know every fool in that studio was like, "Oh, that was a hot line, dog. That was sweet, dog. I like that." Dude, he bankrolling their lifestyle. What they're supposed to say? No idea is a bad idea when somebody paying your bills. But it's the same with Antonio. He recorded some music video, and then he going after media members on Twitter. You cursing out the police. You got into it with the GM for the Raiders. You talking crap about the Patriots owner. Just, man, it's been one thing after another, back to back to back to back. And you know what the world is doing? Because the older I get, the more I realize that even with family, people don't care. Unless it directly affects them, people do not care. And unless they're going through it themselves, how can they empathize with you? How can they sympathize with you? Any of that. They don't care. But also, while not caring, one thing they love to do is they love to see people crash and burn. Some men just want to watch the world burn, and that's for sure. Because people watching AB meltdown right now, and it's entertainment. It's funny. I'm not gonna lie. Some of the stuff he's tweeted out, I've laughed. He has an issue with Juju Smith-Schuster, and which Juju seems like a nice guy, but I don't know him personally. So who knows what kind of relationship they had while he was in Pittsburgh? Hey, Juju just could be. You know, could have been terrible towards Antonio. I kind of doubt it, but hey, anything's possible. But he was talking trash about Juju on Twitter. He called him Boo Boo Schuster. Yeah, I retweeted it because it was funny to me. I did. That was hilarious. But see what I'm saying? We're watching the man burn. Nobody's getting him help. But he's got to want to get help himself. Yeah, I just hope he gets it soon, man, because I think football is, I mean, so far in Antonio's rearview mirror that I don't think he'll be on the field no time soon, man. He has a lot to work on. Like as Marshawn Lynch would say, he need to work on his mentals. He need to take care of his chicken. He need to take care of his body, man. Football is the least of your worries at this moment right now. Got a lot going on. But now moving on, it is championship weekend. The Super Bowl is weekend after next. That's crazy. Super Bowl is here, man. And I hate this time of year because football is about to be gone. But we're going to go into the offseason. Free agency will start. The draft will start. You know, and all the other stuff will start back up. But we're going to have a little dead period where there's really not going to be much to talk about. But also have basketball because the Lakers are winning the chip. It's happening. As long as they can stay healthy, of course. And then always like March Madness. You know. So I'll have things to occupy my time. And I'm going to get in this gym and get this body right. So I started, you know, recording and doing videos with a group called the 21st Men. We talk about men's rights and different topics and things like that. Which I'm not a men's rights activist, but men's rights has intrigued me as the more I've studied it and the more I've gotten into it. But we was recording, I was watching video and me talking. I was like, yo, I had on the black polo. I was like, y'all look like a bag of dirty clothes with a black polo over it. But they say, well, you are your own worst critic. Other people watch it like, oh, man, you don't look that bad. Nah, man, I got to get this weight off me. It is what it is. But we're talking about championship weekend. Now, wild card weekend, I was one out of three. I had the Patriots winning. I had the Bills winning. I had the Vikings winning. No, not the Vikings. I had the Saints winning. And I had the Seahawks winning. Only the Seahawks won. It was some bull. Then I had Baltimore winning. I had Kansas City winning. I had the Vikings over San Francisco. And, of course, I had Green Bay over Seattle. But I went 2-2. So at least I'm improving. But now I got KC over Tennessee. Even though I've doubted Tennessee every round, but I think that train comes to a stop. They've been on a magical run. Derrick Henry has turned his career around and looks like the freight train that he was at Alabama, which, you know, he backs like him are, I won't call him a flash in the pan, but backs like him usually are a flash in the pan because he's a big back and he runs high. And yeah, he led the league in rushing and he's on the tear right now these last three games. I think he's first running back to ever rush for like 180 yards. In three straight games. All that's fine and good, but dude runs too high. And guys in the NFL hit too hard. So how long can he sustain it is the question. But I think it comes to an end because Kansas City can score with anybody. Kansas City could score with a basketball team almost. So I think it comes to an end. Patrick Mahomes and that offense. Like Tyreek Hill said, you can't guard us. So let's say you double Tyreek Hill, because you're going to have to double Tyreek Hill. No one on Tennessee's team can guard him one-on-one for an entire game. You can't. You leave Travis Kelce one-on-one with somebody, because you're going to have to double Tyreek. You leave Sammy Watkins one-on-one. You leave those backs in the backfield one-on-one matched up with those linebackers. You leave Mecole Hardman one-on-one, who's come along. Now, DeMarcus Robinson couldn't catch a cold against the Houston Texans. I know I counted at least four drops. But, hey, he might be on this coming weekend. So, who knows? And then KC's defense, which doesn't get a lot of praise because they were mediocre at best last year. They could rush the passer, though. They've gotten better this year. Adding the Honey Badger was big for them, huge. So I got KC. Now on the other side, you have Green Bay and San Francisco, which I'm going with Green Bay because it is tough to beat a team twice in a row. Now, of course, San Francisco is not going to come into the game with the exact same game plan just because they blew Green Bay out. They're going to come with a different game plan, but you're going to stick to what worked before. They're going to run the football. And so Green Bay is going to have to stop the run. And so that's why it's so hard to beat a team twice, because the team that lost is going to do the most adjusting to what you did in the first game. The team that won is not going to – it's going to tweak here and there, but it's not going to change – make a wholesale change. Green Bay is going to change it up. And I think we're going to get the best of Aaron Rodgers on championship weekend. But the key for the Packers – really, you know, you have to stop the run, of course. But the key for the Packers is Aaron Jones needs to get 20-plus touches. I'll say at least 15 carries on the ground and at least 5 to 10 targets through the air, man. You got to get him 20 to 25 touches. Because Aaron Jones with the ball in his hand is a playmaker. He makes a difference. When his numbers pop for Green Bay, I think they're undefeated. I think once if he has over 100 total yards from scrimmage or something like that, they're undefeated. And he has the most he's closing in on the record for most games with a touchdown. No, it's not most games with a touchdown. It's most total touchdowns in a season. I think he either passed Amon Green or he's tied with him for Green Bay Packers history. And he led the league in total touchdowns. I think he was tied with McCaffrey. Then on the other side of that, with San Francisco, who looks tough, they can be had in the run game. Now, of course, they shut down Dalvin Cook, but they can be had in the run game. Now, the only thing with them and Green Bay is that Aaron Rodgers, he favors Devontae Adams. So if you could find a way to take away Devontae Adams, you make the other wide receivers beat you, which is what they did in the first matchup, which is why Devontae Adams has to be better. They got to find ways to get him the ball, even with them trying to take him away. And that, dude, if you've never seen Devontae Adams play, when you watch the Packers, watch 17. I mean, I remember watching him as a rookie, and I was like, man, this kid is going to be good. It took him a little time to get his feet up under him. But, man, he's one of the smoothest wide receivers in and out of his breaks. And his release off the line is second to none. But San Francisco, their job is to shut him down, shut down Aaron Jones. Then on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to run the football, man. I was watching them against the Vikings, man. And Kyle Shanahan, he was looked like he was just drawing up plays on the sandlot in the dirt, man, just coming up with plays. I'm thinking they was running that outside zone, and those the linemen, they were just moving purple jerseys out of the holes, just moving purple jerseys all over the field. You saw red jerseys going forward and purple jerseys going backwards. They couldn't stop it. So Jimmy Garoppolo, who I have been critical of, he doesn't have to be Tom Brady. He doesn't have to be Drew Brees. He doesn't have to be Peyton Manning. He doesn't have to be Dan Marino. He doesn't have to be Montana. He doesn't have to be Steve Young. When you can run the ball like that and choke out your opponent with your defense, he doesn't have to be great. All he has to do is convert a few key third downs and not turn the ball over. That's it. So if I'm Green Bay, of course, hey, we have to stop the run because we want the ball in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands. Because he has a tendency to hold the ball too long. And that's whether he's waiting for a guy to be more open or whether he's looking for the big play. Don't know. But he holds the ball too long. And if Green Bay can stop the run, more chances of him holding the ball too long. So I would love to see a Kansas City and Green Bay Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes' best comparison as far as compared to great quarterbacks, I think, is Aaron Rodgers. There's no throw that either one of them can't make. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the most talented throwers of the football the NFL has ever seen. And now it's Patrick Mahomes' turn. And Patrick the same, man. Patrick is just, dude, flick of the wrist. And then, of course, if it is KC versus Green Bay, I think I'm going to have to go with the master and not the student. So I'll say, you know, Green Bay over Kansas City. But I may change that, so don't hold me to that. But I'll make my official prediction for the Super Bowl after the games have been played, and, you know, we'll review it, go over it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is my time. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe throughout all my platforms, Spotify, Google Play, Anchor, CastBox, Radio Public. I got about 11 or 12 episodes on YouTube. And also, go follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, especially on my Instagram, where I'm doing work with the 21st Men, and we've been recording. I think I did about 4 or 5 episodes with them. We just dropped our final episode of season 1, which is episode 8. We talk about cheating. There's episodes, I think it's episode 7. We talk about entrepreneurialism. In my past episodes, we talked about masculinity and male identity. So go check those episodes out. Let me know what you think. Hey, follow me. Follow the 21st Men. Oh, and also, can't forget, there's a podcast called Little Gold Nuggets. I did a guest spot on them, on their platform. We talked about why good girls and nice guys finish last. So it's not sports, but I like to talk relationships. I told you I like to talk men's rights. I like to talk about a plethora of things. And so I'm trying to get on more podcasts because I have a range of topics that I like to talk about. Sports is my baby, so I'll always do this and I'll always have this. But until next time, I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.